You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? This is the Friday episode, so that means I will be reviewing a new episode of South Park because I just think they are so awesome. And it kind of fits in with the theme of the podcast, but that's the beauty of podcasts. You don't always have to explain your theme. Sometimes it just works. The Wednesday episode will be, Wednesday episodes are when I break down jokes, why they don't work. Mine, of course. And how I bang my head against the metaphysical wall to make them work. And this one is just going to be a fun episode of talking about something I love. So last week, I hypothesized the Denmark and the troll, that the reason that they were talking about the Danish, that the Danish woman killed herself because of the American troll trolling her online. The reason they used Denmark was because of Beowulf and the old myths of trolls in Denmark. And I was partially right. As you...
Today, the monsters believe they can go undetected, free to attack and then retreat to the darkness. But in Denmark, we have dealt with the trolls before, and now we shall deal with them again.
Yeah, so I was kind of right in the sense that it was about the mythology, but they didn't reference Beowulf specifically. But yeah, so Denmark is now coming at Kyle's dad because he's the troll. And I'm just going to play one section of the episode because it kind of sets up the whole point, in my opinion, of the episode. This one is dealing with, let's see what we got here. Well, I don't know how to fast forward on my phone, but check this out.
It's like one guy gets online and says terrible things about girls and it reflects badly on all of us.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's sad. Everyone's depressed and nobody knows how to move forward.
Good.
I guess what I'm saying is, I'm starting to feel a lot of guilt just for being a boy. How do I not feel that?
Sorry, Kyle. I have to meet someone. Talk to your mother. I love you.
It's been a rough few weeks, baby. The girls are still mad about being trolled on the school message board. Parents are all freaking out about the election. And I tell you, you're glad not to be living in this country right now.
Butters, I'm sorry, but I told you not to Skype me anymore, right?
But Charlotte, I love you. I need you. You can't break up with me.
I have to stand with my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they got to you. Those slinky snakes in the grass.
Who?
Well, you know who. The girls in my school. They all broke up with their boyfriends, and now they got you to go along with them.
This is a time when women and girls have to stand together.
So then it's true. You're all snakes in the grass.
All right, so that sets the tone for the whole episode. That's all we really need to play, and we can discuss it. It's, of course, brilliant, as always. And it deals with very deep issues and that's facing the world right now. And one of the main things is guilt by association. As you can see with that, what happened is Kyle's dad started trolling women. He named himself Skank Hunt 69. And he would just say terrible, mean things. So the girls all stopped dating the boys. They did a full sex starvation. What's it called when you go, I don't know. There's people right. What's that, baby?
Abstinence?
Yeah, abstinence. But there's like a sex embargo, a fast. I don't know. But so anyway, what's happening now is the boys are faced with this guilt by association. That there's one boy. Well, actually, it's a grown man, but no one knows that except for the Danish people. But who is saying these nasty things about women. And so now all boys are associated with this. And this is a reflection of what's happening right now when it comes to the concept of rape culture in America, where just being male kind of puts blood on your hands a little bit. It kind of makes you guilty by association. And for a long time, I thought that was silly. I was very against that. I was like, this is ridiculous. Men have to just be men. I should not feel bad about this, blah, blah, blah. So, but then I kept thinking, because I'm sitting outside with my wife and baby, and we have a fire, and we're really happy and drinking beers. But she kind of pointed out that for the last several years, I've been focused on a bunch of problems that I never used to focus on. And I told her, I'm like, it's because I'm loved, if that makes any sense. There's an old saying, empty stomach, one problem, full stomach, many problems. So before I was in a relationship that I was happy in, I was always focused on getting women, either for sex or for love or for completion or whatever. And now that I have such a happy home life, I now see all these things in the world. So it's interesting. It definitely has made me there's a slightly heavier vibe to my personality, but at the same time, a deep happierness. I don't know. That's even a word. But anyway, so talking about this rape culture thing, I came up with the conclusion that Black Lives Matter and this new anti-male feminism and, Islamophobia and all these like things that seem very erratic and irrational and all over the map, they come out of a group of people not feeling safe and protected. You know, it's kind of like the Black Panthers came because Black people in Oakland in the 60s didn't feel like the cops were protecting them. So the more radical the group and the more on the surface irrational, the more you have to look deeper and see a group of hurting people that are kind of taking matters into their own hands. And I personally don't like blaming people that aren't personally culpable for things, because as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye until the whole world is blind. But at the same time, you can't disregard a group of people that if you go along with... I was raised Catholic, and one thing I always compare it to is when we all knew that children were being molested, and people kept going to church, and friends of mine that I'm very close with kind of had that feeling of like, well, you guys are all guilty now because you know what's happening to us and you keep going to church. Humans aren't perfect, and any group you're associated with has some sort of baggage, whether you're American or French or English or Brazilian or a man or a woman or left-handed or blonde-haired or black, or, you know, everybody has done something. Some of those groups aren't applicable because you can't choose them. Okay, you buy clothes from the Gap. You use an iPhone. You're culpable of child labor now. But see, the thing about human nature is I'm not judging any of these people because we all do that. We naturally can't understand 7 billion people. It's just really tough for us. Like, we think in terms of 150, 200 people, small tribes. That's what we're wired for. So the bigger the group, the harder it is to feel culpability, and then the more anger we feel. And in South Park, this episode, we see a group of boys go to the girls' volleyball game to try and show them safety, where we're like, listen, we aren't here to harass you. We are here to make you feel safe. Love us again. And that's the move. It's always the move. No matter what situation, whether you're wife or husband or daughter or parent, if someone's freaking out, fighting fire with fire never works properly. It only puts lines in the sand. It only creates defined wars. What the boys did, like Stan and the guys, is they were like, girls, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Even if you don't want to touch us or love us, we will still be here. You're safe. We are not attacking you. And you see Wendy have a little smile, and it's going great. And then Butters goes the other direction. He goes the maleists. There's a term for it. It's like feminism, but men. It's like meninism, male masculists. So he stands up and shows everyone his wiener. And it's like, that's the beauty of South Park, because it's funny. I can't even say that without giggling, but it's so telling of our society. He proudly shows his wiener. He's like, this is my wiener. I'm proud of it. And because he took all that, when his girl pulled back from him and didn't want to talk to him anymore because he was a man, and he felt like he didn't do anything, he got angry. And he said, you know, you're all snakes in the grass. And then he reacted with, he created a team, and then all these other boys stand up and they pull out their wieners. And it's very reminiscent to, you know, the Kaepernick episode when, you know, they take the knee and then other people take the knee. So they're all now standing proud of their wieners. And so basically they're saying, whatever you ladies are going to say about us, we are proud. You can go to hell. We are men and we are proud of our wieners. And so what that does is, I don't know where the season's going, but what I see in my life is all that does is make people double down on whatever they already are. Is in Wednesday's episode, I showed like a fairly controversial yet benign and loving joke that I've been working on. And an interaction I had with someone I thought was a troll on Twitter, but turned out to be very nice because I responded with compassion. I think that, like, you know, all these groups and these movements come from not feeling safe. Where black people felt like they were safe, they wouldn't create Black Lives Matter. And for all the faults Black Lives Matter has, and there's a lot of them, I mean, they're all over the map and just causing a lot of, you know, they're destabilizing. But in the members of Black Lives Matter, that's the point, where if you're not going to let us grow and be protected in your stability, we're going to destabilize it until it's our stability. And in this episode, the girls overreacted, or not. It depends on what perspective you're at. They took away all the love from all the guys until they found out who was the culprit and set a tone like, you can't harass us. And when that happens, you have two ways of reacting. You can either react with compassion and say, listen, I'll be here when you need me, when you feel safe. Or you can say, fuck you, I got a wiener. And so we see that in this episode. And we saw that this week with Donald Trump. Here's some clips of me making fun of Donald Trump's grabbing pussy comments he did.
Like, there's nothing to grab. It's the weirdest verb choice you could possibly use. I'm not grabbing pussies. Grab them. And I was like, love them. Love the pussies. Don't grab them. Don't snatch a pussy like you're a fucking raccoon.
See, the thing about Trump is it's almost like... And I'm not, this isn't political. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I don't care who you vote for, to be honest with you. I think that it's the same cycle over and over again anyway. But Trump kind of showed this situation where it was almost like, what will be the trigger that makes you say enough? You know, very early on, a lot of people got off the Trump train because of his comments about Rosie O'Donnell. And I felt those to be some of the most benign. I would never vote for Donald Trump, but that's just because I would never vote for him anyway, you know? I mean, it's not even personal. I just would be like, no, he's a reality star. He's going to be out for his own. For me, it's just financial. Like, he doesn't have my interests in mind. And I'm not knocking you for your vote. In fact, I'm getting to that right now. So basically, he was hitting a lot of triggers. And Hillary did too, but it didn't seem as intentional. But so he's hitting these triggers. Like the Rosie thing, I thought was just, I heard an East Coast guy talking shit back to someone who's talking shit. It didn't push me over the line. Again, never going to vote for him, but I'm not going to sit on Facebook saying like he's Hitler or any of this shit. I'm not on board that. Okay, then he started talking about not letting Muslims into the country. And, again, I'm not into that. I mean, America's founded on religious freedom. It's a very, you know, for anyone who understands branding. Hey, Sophie, get out of there. For anyone who understands branding as far as like Coca-Cola makes soda, right? It's a certain type of soda. Starbucks makes coffee. If Starbucks starts selling cars, very confusing. You're going to lose a lot of money. You know, a lot of the countries in this world are not religiously tolerant. And but we are. It's in our founding documents. So if we start excluding people based on religion, it's bad. Okay. Didn't tip me over though. Why? I have too many friends that served that have been given orders like shoot everyone with a beard, you know? And so with that perspective, it's a little hypocritical to like be offended by nasty words when we've been dropping bombs on them for 30 straight years. Or not 30, 20, but constantly killing Muslims, But as soon as they want to come here, we're like, oh, well, you can't say anything mean. Okay, I'm not for that, but it's not going to tip me over. What tipped me over, which made me like tweet stuff and Facebook stuff, like this guy is an absolute piece of shit. I was always making fun of him, but like, do not vote for him, is when he started talking about grabbing pussies. Because that makes women feel unsafe. And as much as the Muslim comments make Muslims feel unsafe, he wasn't saying like, in this country, we will round you up. He didn't say that. He said, I don't know what's going on in Syria. I want, granted, he's wrong about everything he's saying. He's just a bad politician, but that's not on a personal level. I can still see a chance that he's like, I want to be able to vet people coming into this country from the area where all this shit keeps happening, okay? Again, I'm not for that, but I can kind of see it. It's not to me, I don't know. When he said, you know, when you're famous, you can just go up and grab women's pussies, you now just made half the population feel unsafe permanently. And people can say that's locker room talk. It's not. I played sports my whole life. I've had sex with a lot of women, and I'm an animal. Like, I'm not judging him. I never would think that. I never would think I have power, so how can I exude this on another? How can I push it on someone? An acceptable thing would be like, when you're rich and famous, women will just jump on your dick. I would have no problem with that. Is it something I want to hear my president say? No. But is it like, I would be like, yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, they do. But like, when he said you go up and grab, you grab them. You grab the pussies. I'm like, dude, this guy is an absolute sexual predator. And you can't, like, there's no other option. You know, Hillary Clinton may have killed people. She may not have. She may have done this. She may not have. That dude said that, and he wasn't joking. So, like, he can't represent women. Why am I on this rant? Because it's very applicable to this episode. What's happening with this is if the whole anti-male movement comes from men not calling out their own and making women not feel safe. And it's the same with cops. 99% of cops are awesome. I'm friends with a bunch of them. They're awesome. 1% are probably complete pieces of shit. 5% or 20%, I don't know, I'm just throwing these numbers out there, are really undertrained. And what the black community wants is for them to say, this was a fuck up, we're really sorry. The reason they don't do that is because of money. They don't want to be sued. That's a different thing. But the fact they don't call out their own means you don't trust any of them now. Muslims can be very peaceful people. They worship the same God as Jews and Christians, and it's very similar, right? But they do some fucked up shit. And the problem with a lot of Muslims in the world is like when they like cut off someone's head, or, you know, they say you can't draw Muhammad without a massive response, the community doesn't really say anything. They're kind of like, yeah, you know, that's kind of true. And that's what makes people on edge. And it's the same. And I finally understand why women have had this kind of fear of male culture. And it's because you get paranoid, right? When someone blatantly says and does things, which means they most likely have raped somebody. And by the way, if you walk up to someone and grab their pussy, that's felony sexual assault. There's no gray area there. If people don't respond to that, they think that you're all culpable in your silence. Now, that being said, I still firmly believe to attack the candidate, not the supporter, because everybody has blood on their hands. We all knew the priests were fucking the kids, and we still went to church because there was more at stake than just that scandal. You know, Trump represents things to people that supersede scandal, where it would have to be, I mean, look at OJ. Remember how the black community like stood by him and said he is innocent, even though DNA evidence said he wasn't? It took like 10 years for the black community to admit. Some are still holding out. Some still say that he didn't kill his wife. Some believe that OJ or Bill Cosby didn't rape those chicks, that it's all a big thing, because Bill Cosby represented something to the black community that superseded scandal. He got out. He was successful. he could stay black in a white man's world and still be worth $1 billion and give back to the community, even though he's kind of a judgy asshole. That 1, 2, 3 accusations. No, that's the white man trying to bring down a black man. 40, 50 accusations with no, you know, he doesn't respond with any sense of anything. Now people are turning. And I think Grabgate, the pussy grab, is when things turn, because you can't tell your daughter that that's okay. You can say men will fuck. You can say men will, like, be pigs. But you can't say that you can run around grabbing pussies, because that's not a world that will make women feel safe. And as we see in this South Park episode, they'll pull back their affection, you know? They'll pull back their affection from you and say, I don't trust any of you until you call out your own. And that is the takeaway from this week. Please subscribe to the podcast. Share it. If you think there's someone that needs this info, give it to them, because information is our savior. The more we know, the more we don't hate each other. Proximity is not intimacy. The closer we are to other communities without any more knowledge of that community, the more hate is made, because we develop this primal resentment unless we really understand each other. And I don't think a lot of people have really put themselves in the shoes of communities that are scared. You know, I many times have felt what Butters felt, and then I realized I was wrong. And it's important that we admit we're wrong and that we don't double down on insanity. Don't attack the follower or the supporter, attack the candidate. That way you can give someone an out. If you really want people to not vote for Hillary Clinton or not vote for Donald Trump, don't say all Hillary supporters are pussies and faggots and all Trump supporters are Nazis and rapists, because it's one, it's not true. And two, if you don't give the people a place to go to, they have to stay at that point. If you don't say, listen, we've all made mistakes, come to our side. He's a bad guy, she's a bad chick. That gives people an option. So if you really want change, don't attack the people, because you will then guarantee that they do not switch sides. So that's just a pure act of narcissism. Go to hugepianist.com. If you want to support the podcast, buy me and my brother some beers. You can buy with PayPal. We're making coasters. I'm actually outside sanding them right now. Yeah, we'll send you some coasters. Good times. And yeah, hugepianist.com or owenbenjamin.com. It's all the same website. If you want to come out to shows, I have one tomorrow in Lake Placid, New York. And then I have Atlanta Punchline next week. Then I'm home for the next week for my wedding anniversary. My wife's family's coming out. I'm so excited to show them the beautiful leaves of the autumn. And then in November, I'm doing Levity Live in New York. And I'm also doing... Sophie, stop licking that. It's okay, baby. And then I'm also doing Brea, California. And then in December, I have some stuff. For New Year's, I'm doing Fort Myers, Florida. And a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, write to me, whydidn'ttheylaugh@gmail.com. I promise you I will read more of those emails. I just rarely do this podcast in front of my computer these days, so I apologize. But keep writing to me. I love hearing your perspectives. I'm a perspective junkie. It's like my heroin. When I hear a new perspective and it is valid, I will change my mind. I love you guys. Stay hydrated and change your socks. Peace.
Peeps, it's Jessie Mae Peluso here to tell you about my podcast, The Sharp Tongue, heard each week right here on the Sideshow Network. Every episode is a slice of my life as a touring comedian, and I'm bringing you my favorite funny and interesting friends to talk about whatever is on our minds. I talk about road stories, I talk about horror movies, music, putting fingers in buttholes. Everything you ever want to talk about is right here. It's The Sharp Tongue with me, Jessie Mae Peluso, every week on iTunes and the Sideshow Network. Download, rate, and subscribe, and tell a friend to check us out, because we need validation. And by we, I mean me. I'm alone here in the studio.